What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast. Begging of you, please don't take my Mansfield. Coming up, Carabao Cup sets and costly crushings. Ooh, that's a good deal. More transfers that we like, weekend previews, and plenty more besides. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. Little Dolly Parton reference at the top of the show. Everybody's been doing that this week, haven't they? God bless her. Speaking of music, some people don't like the new theme tune. I think, guys, if you just give it a couple of weeks, we'll get used to it. I'm the same. It's me, Matt, by the way. I've got Adrian Clark and Sam Parkin with me. Clarky, you seem surprised by that. I feel like whenever one of my favourite podcasts changes their theme music, I hate it for a month and then I start liking it. So can we reassure the listeners that that's what's going to happen?
I think so. Yeah, I'll be honest. I wasn't a fan of the old one. I didn't love it. So glad that you changed it. And I don't mind it at all. I think it's good. So yeah, just chill, everyone. Yeah, you'll get used to it.
And Sam, the key thing about it was it came from YouTube's free music library, so he didn't have to pay for it. And in this world, that's always a win.
Yeah, I concur with Clarkie. Just thinking back to the early days of podcasts, that was an absolute nightmare, wasn't it? Trying to find music without having to pay and such like. So I'm very thankful to you, Matt, for doing that and finding something marginally better.
All right, well, stick with it, guys.
My phrase.
Marginally better is all I could ever ask for in my school reports, so we'll take it at the age of 44 as in reference to a podcast theme tune. All right, as usual, we have loads to go for today, but first of all, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you placed at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. And while we're plugging stuff, if you'd like to leave us a nice 5-star review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever get your pods, we would appreciate it. It all helps us grow the show. And the show today will start proper with our Carabao Cup roundup. And we'll kick this off with Chelsea against Luton on Thursday night, because it's pretty recent. We're recording on Friday morning, and also because Sam and I were both on hand for this one. Sam, I've got it pegged as one of those classic, the EFL side acquitted themselves well without ever looking like causing an upset. Would that be about right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, yeah, at full time I was probably feeling a little bit shortchanged, because you want the EFL side to have a bit of a go, give their supporters maybe that consolation that they craved, and they were unable to hurt Chelsea really, other than a couple of set pieces in the first half. I thought Callum Marshall was very good, the centre forward. Looking forward to seeing what he can do for the rest of the season. He's given Jack Wilshere a bit of a nice problem, because I think Mekki Wells has done pretty well for them up top so far this campaign, but Marshall scored at the weekend and led the line really well last night up against such athletic players. And you know, he's never going to really stretch them down the sides or get in behind, because the recovery pace of these top boys is just something. It's just a different level. So that was a challenge for them to get out. They obviously changed the shape as well, Luton. I think going into the game, you think about how entertaining they've been so far this season, and how Jack Wilshere's got all the hallmarks of kind of a young Arteta in the way that his team have been playing. There's a lot of similarities, I'm sure, when Clarkie gets an opportunity to see Luton in the flesh, some kind of trademark little tactical quirks that Jack's inherited from Arteta. But obviously he went to the 5-4-1 really last night. They covered the space really well. They were diligent defending their box, but it felt like a foregone conclusion once Welbeck broke the deadlock. So yeah, nothing to change my mind that Luton are going to be really competitive this year. They've got a good squad, they've got a good budget for the level, and having seen Jack Wilshere's side maybe four times now in the flesh, and he inherited a mess, a squad that needed upheaval, a culture that needed changed, a new playing style which is very different to maybe anything they've had at Luton for probably a decade or longer. He's doing a fine job. So yeah, they shouldn't be deterred by last night, and they'll go into the game at Mansfield on Sunday, I'm sure, better for the experience.
I have a Luton supporting friend. I'm sure he won't mind me quoting the message he sent me after the game, Clark. He said, our biggest issue last season was Wilshere wanted to play like Pep's Barcelona before eventually realising we couldn't do that. I'm sure you're looking on with your Arsenal connections with interest at how his managerial career evolves. And after a slightly sticky start, or maybe not start, middle bit of it, of his time at Luton last season, he's got a pretty clear identity, hasn't he? And he seems to have got to grips with the league, which I always think is an interesting thing for somebody to have to do when they've spent their playing career at the top level to then go into the third tier. But so far, so good. If you're a Luton fan, there'd be a reason to be positive.
I'm really, really impressed with Jack Wilshere because I don't think he's the most natural communicator, or I didn't used to think he was a great communicator, but he's found a way. And, you know, we see some of these videos, don't you, of Luton in the changing rooms. And when I watch those, I feel, yeah, I'd play for him. I'd like to play for that guy. And obviously he's also Jack Wilshere, so he commands that respect. And the players will know that he knows what he's talking about. He's learned from some amazing managers. So, yeah, I'm excited. He's obviously got good people around him. But I think that the early signs suggest that Luton have pulled off a bit of a coup to get him, and that he will climb into the Championship sooner rather than later. But, you know, hopefully with Luton.
Got that new stadium to look forward to as well. Well, Luton's big rivals, Watford, were involved in the shock of the week. I remember last week when we questioned the immaculacy of the vibes at Peterborough, they took that personally, dished out a 5-1 thumping to Watford in their own vicarage. Clarke, there is some mitigation in that Watford changed all 11 starters, six players had their full debuts, but then Posh made six changes and they had two 17-year-olds scoring, so I'm not sure how much mitigation that is. Well,
no, exactly. Obviously, yeah, there was a lot... more experience in the Peterborough side, and that maybe did show. The Peterborough side, though, was a touch younger. It averaged 22 years of age on the dot. I think Watford's average age was 22.5. So they were two really young teams. But this was an amazing performance. You know, it equaled, I think, the club record for Peterborough in terms of their away win in the League Cup. You know, they'd not won by more than four goals before. So to win 5-1 at Watford, and to do it in the manner they did, where they could really have scored more at 19 shots, 10 on target. It was really, really creative. I was looking at, it wasn't down to one or two individuals either. You had Woods, you had Schoffer Woke, Kelly, Harrison Jones. They all created 10 chances between them. Harry Leonard had seven shots and the goals were really good. So what a boost. And that's what the cup can do for you. And obviously they, you know, the good result at the weekend as well. So yeah, suddenly things are looking a little bit rosier for Peterborough. I think a lot of people were very sceptical on their prospects this season. But when you see those young players play with that sort of freedom and fun, really, I think it bodes well for the season. So I won't tip them up to challenge for promotion or anything like that. But I have changed my outlook a little bit. I'm more positive on them now because... that, you know, kids or no kids in the Watford lineup, that was a very, very impressive performance.
Yeah, all it took was for the owner to lose his head in his own podcast. That's football in 2026 for you. A nice tie for them in the third round as well at home to Barnsley. They'll feel that they've got a good chance of progressing from that. Now then, Sam, you were over another big away win. It came at St Andrews, where Birmingham were obliterated by Brentford. 6-1 the score here. Obviously, we're in the EFL pod, so we'll focus on the Blues. How bad were they?
Really bad. Yeah, it was probably a fair reflection on what I witnessed. They scored Damari Gray probably during their only spell, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where they were able to get on the ball. But yeah, it was a really somber atmosphere by full time, as you can imagine. They did a kind of lap of appreciation, I suppose, and there was a bit of stick coming Chris Davis's way. And we could hear as well, you know, a little bit going on during the game. A few disgruntled supporters near the speakers, giving him what for. So it's been a really disappointing start to the season for them. For my money, there's been a bit of a sea change in terms of the way they want to play. I kind of think back to League One, probably when he was in the infancy of the role and they were total football. And I know it's probably quite easy when you've got better players than the rest in the third tier, but they've certainly gone to the other end of the spectrum. And this isn't a team that looked very comfortable playing through the thirds. Brentford obviously are very intense at going hunting early, and that's how they win the first goal, with a quick turnover and Callum Wilson scores. But they just seem to have lost their identity a little bit. Birmingham, and I think there's quite a lot of discourse about the areas of the pitch that clearly need strengthening, not being done so. So, yeah, I think they're still short of a number 10. Fujimoto played in there. I'm not entirely sure what he's bringing to the party. Endeavour without the ball hardly got on it at all. They ended with Stansfield off Prisco, which is probably more akin to the way that they're going to go in the league games. But, yeah, it was a really contrasting night seeing how Brentford have grown and how 10 years ago this would have been a level playing field. Maybe even Birmingham would have been ahead of Brentford in the food chain. Now, all of a sudden, a cohesive Premier League unit popping the ball around and Birmingham unable to get anywhere near them. Some of the goals as well, just centre-half beaten. You know, aerially, Nathan Collins was on a hat-trick towards the tail end of the game and he scored two of the easiest headers he's going to get in his career. And it got worse because Brentford were able to put on some of the big guns from the bench and the gap widened. So, yeah, it's a massive game tonight, at Wrexham. And I believe they go to Southampton on Tuesday, Birmingham. So it is, I will go as far to say, now or never for this current management team. I think they have to get a result over the next two games. Otherwise, that's going to be what? Let's say they lose the next two points through four, beating 6-1 in the cup. I don't think there's any way back, probably, unless they find a performance in the next 180 minutes.
Do you think they'll go for Sean Dyche or make an ambitious play for Thomas Frank, Clarkie?
Either might be under consideration. I've heard the name Brendan Rodgers knocking around a little bit. There was another name as well that I can't recall at the moment.
Rob Edwards, I think I've seen.
Yeah, so the fact that we're all hearing bits, I think, tells his own story. And I think I think Sam's right. If the next two games don't go right, this time next week when we reconvene, I think Birmingham will be looking for a new manager or possibly even have one.
I think there's talk of a new sporting director, which would help things, because I just think the recruitment, some of the signings, you know, I'm scratching my head. I mean, Luis Vasquez is the new centre forward. He's come in the aftermath of this game for enormous flack. I mean, it's difficult coming in for your first game, you know, new teammates, new country. But yeah, I mean, he looked miles off it. I think Prisca's had a really good pre-season, so they'll be hopeful that he can become something. But some of these signings, you know, if you're wanting to be challenging in the second tier, don't think the quality level adds up.
Okay, Friday night, Wrexham for them. Might be reckoning for Chris Davis, we shall see. Another manager who might well be feeling the hot breath of pressure on his neck is Paul Heckingbottom. His Preston side remain pointless in the league and they're now out of the cup after they conceded four against Everton at Deepdale. So they've lost Clarkie at Bolton, their rivals. They've been comfortably beaten by Wolves in their home game last weekend. Am I right, therefore, to say there is some pressure on the manager, or is it a lack of investment over years and years that's beginning to bite them?
Well, yeah, there is a bit of that, but they're better than what they're showing at the moment, and they look like a team that's gone backwards. They look like a team that can't defend. Jeez, I mean, the chances that Wolves... I know Wolves are a good team, right? Okay, we'll talk about them a little bit later. Quality outfit. But the way they sliced through them was embarrassing at times. And I tell you what, Everton destroyed them in the game. 4-0. It was like North End... It was like they were playing a non-contact sport. No one was getting tight. No one was getting aggressive. It was passive. They're just letting their runners go, or letting them get in front of them inside the box to score. It was a really, really bad performance, in my opinion. I think afterwards, Heckenbottom tried to put a brave face on it, said, you know, I've rotated, you know, I'm looking ahead to the weekend, et cetera, et cetera. But I think without the ball, I mean, because they're Preston, right? Preston, if they're going to do anything in the Championship, have got to be solid. They've got to be compact. They've got to be hard to beat, because they're not going to have an all-star attack. You're not going to score 100 goals this season. And at the moment, they're not solid at the back. They're anything but. So I think Sam predicted them for bottom three. And that's looking a pretty good bet at the moment.
They sold Milutin Osmajic to Genoa this week. Good riddance to him. Preston, here's a mini quiz for you both. They've been in the Championship for 12 straight seasons. It's the joint most with two other teams. Who are the other teams who've been in the Championship for 12 seasons?
12 seasons.
And they've had the same back four. Clara.
Who are the other two? Stoke?
Nope.
Cool, that's a really good question. How many
Bristol City?
Bristol City's one.
Yeah.
Sam, you can definitely get the other one.
QPR.
Correct. What? Who's most likely to go up out of those three this season? Probably none of them. maybe Preston will be playing in a different division.
I'll just say, because we'll obviously do our tweet of the week, but well played, Everton admin, for digging out the Simon Amstel, sending Preston from the Ordinary yes. Boys packing from the Nevermind the Buzzcocks studio. I felt a bit sorry for Preston at the time. I actually quite liked him when he had his little romance with Chantel.
Yeah, he was
more than a little romance,
life,
wasn't it?
But yeah.
That was Simon Amstel sending Preston packing, which the Everton admin used very well.
Good content. We'll get on to Peterborough's admin later. But let's do a much-needed win for West Ham and Nuno Espirito Santo next. That's assuming that he's not trying to get the sack for the second season in a row. Here's Hammers 4-1 victors against Southampton at St Mary's to set up a home tie against Fulham. Interesting this, Sam, because he started with a largely youthful team and then he brought on the big hitters and they got them over the line. I don't know if it's a catalyst or a sticking plaster.
Yeah, well, it'll improve the mood, won't it? And it's great for the young players. I think that's the biggest takeaway. They were 2-1 up, weren't they, before, you know, Castellanos and Bowen and the light came on. So, yeah, real credit, Josh Ajala with a couple of goals. Sounded like Golan Bekis, the centre-half, was very good. Divin Mikasa, who we would have spoken about, I think, during his early days at Leicester, he had a couple of standout performances last season, but his driving with the ball, he looks like a really graceful player, powerful player when he's on the ball. He did well. Also, I think there's still question marks about West Ham. I think we said on the preview pod, it's going to take a few weeks to adapt to the level. And my question mark over Nuno being the right guy for a team that's going to have all the ball, to have all the expectation on them, especially in the home games, remains. So we will see in the games ahead. But, you know, Charlton gave them a little bit of a reality check at the London Stadium, although they were fortunate in the end, given that Castellanos spurned that late opportunity to take a point. But I think that's probably going to be, you know, in keeping with a few of the games across the next few weeks, it's going to be an adaptation period, which, yeah, victory in the cup, however it comes, will do wonders, I think, for the spirit on the training ground as they look to find that consistency.
Yeah, they go to Watford this weekend, so that feels like a nice game for them to continue that run. For Southampton, Clark, I mean, that lineup looked pretty strong to me. It's a slightly worrying result for them. It looks like they're bringing James Ward-Prowse back from West Ham to St Mary's. Is that going to help him out?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's completely done, is he? He shouldn't be. Yeah, like, they had a much-needed home win, didn't they, in the league? So that was a boost. But yeah, this was a bit chastening, because it was a bit of a battery, you know, and there were a lot of young players. You know, Josh Ajala gets a brace. And Lewis Orford in midfield for West Ham created 6 chances, you know. Like, these young players really stepped up, and Southampton didn't really have the answers, didn't create a single big chance during the course of the game. So, yeah, I think, the jury's out on Southampton and what they're able to achieve this season. It's all gone a bit quiet, hasn't it, on the manager front? It'd be interesting to see, you know, if that changes in the coming days or weeks and how that impacts them.
Yeah, I remember they started the season with that 4-point penalty. Last of all, Yorkshire besting Lancashire at Valley Parade. Bradford knocked out Burnley on pens. They'll go to Leighton Orient in round 3 as a result. We're going to do Bradford in our preview, so we'll focus on the Clarets. And what's been an underwhelming start, Sam, for Nicky Hayen. Lost 3-1 at West Brom last weekend. They fought back to draw with West Ham on opening day, but it just feels like this might be the season where they don't actually bounce straight back. There's a bit of discontent with the ownership from the fan base. Lots of players have left. Not quite the happiest of camps looking in from the outside.
Yeah, I wouldn't go too early on this. I'd agree with everything that you said, but yeah, like West Ham, Claret and Blue, just need a little bit of time to see exactly what they're going to look like. That would be my sentiment on it. You know, there's no disgrace losing at the Hawthorns. I've really liked the look of West Brom. I know it's only 3 or 4 games, but there's a real kind of shift going on at the Hawthorns, kind of moving towards a much more youthful setup. And they played really well, those guys, Price and Whitwell, in that victory last weekend. So, yeah, Bradford's a really difficult game. I think when the crowd's up, they've started the season unbelievably, which we'll get onto. There's no disgrace in that. Yeah, so I would give the manager a little bit more time. He needs to see what his squad is going to look like. And I think a lot of the players that have been brought in haven't had the minutes. They've been signed latterly, recovering from knocks, so on and so forth. Fleming has obviously continued interest in him. That needs to be obviously rectified. If he's going to remain, he will score goals for them. And he's the type of character, I think, that's been in the Championship and prospered previously that will really help them to have a good season. So yes, it's a new manager. Yes, it maybe doesn't have the strength right now of yesteryear in the Championship, but I would remain tight-lipped for now.
Big game for them, isn't it, Clarky? And big game for Norwich this weekend, actually, yeah. or more specifically for Philip Clement and Nicky Heimbap.
I know. And I don't know what's going on with Norwich. We tipped them up for promotion and it's been terrible. So they need to buck their ideas up big time, Norwich. And yeah, Clement, that momentum's kind of lost now. It is a big game. But yeah, Nicky Heimbap, I am actually with Sam. I still look at the players and I think they've got some good players. You know, Zian Fleming and Amdouni and, you know, there's a lot of decent individuals. Don't mind the signing of Ahmed Hodžić as well, who we saw previously at Sheffield United. I think some of the recruitments have actually been quite good this summer at Turf Moor. So yeah, I think that they will. That I would have them as a lock-in, if I'm honest, for top eight and playoffs.
Okay. Carabao Cup ties will be played across 2 weeks, the 7th of September and the 14th of September. That's because there's European football going on as well across that. Next today, we're going to get on to some transfers that we like. Right then, Adrian, the market is still very much open for a few more days. It's been busy. What stood out to you over the past 7 days?
Yeah, I've got two for you that stood out, two forwards. One is a classic Peterborough United signing, Danny Ormerod from AFC Fylde. They've done it the last sort of 20, 30 years, haven't they? Posh, they've raided non-league and they've picked up some absolute gems.
McLean, Mikhail Smith, Asson Belonga, yeah, exactly. Ford Ormerod. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, let's credit Darren McAntony because he's got a little bit of flack here and elsewhere in the last week, but his little ex-reveal of their newest striker recruited from non-league, very good actually, playing all those aforementioned goals.
Ah, nice. Yeah, well, look, he's only 20. He scored 31 for Fylde last year in the National League North. Now, I played, my last club was the National League South and for Welling United. And if you're 20, because it's still a good level, and if you're 20 and you're smashing in 31, you've got something about you, trust me. So, I look forward to seeing how he gets on. The other one is Elijah Adebayo. He's been sort of floating around this summer. I heard he was going to Leicester a few weeks ago. That obviously didn't materialise. He's gone to Bristol City, who seems to be hoovering up striker after striker, don't they, Sam? At least this one's got a bit more Championship experience than the previous two, who are both good players, by the way. But yeah, this is maybe more of a sort of tried and trusted acquisition in Adebayo, who should rough up centre-backs in the Championship for Bristol City.
Nice one. Who's your first pick, Sam?
Yeah, I had Adebayo down. Absolutely. Effective, you know, is that the word that jumps out with him. You got to play to his strengths. He's not always that easy on the eye, but he joins that, you know, good group of forwards that they put together. Let's just quickly mention Ballard's goal. I know it's been and gone, but I mean, that's not going to be bettered, is it, this season? That he's just sensational.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player, that boy.
Incredible. So Al Hamady, who regular listeners will remember that I have such high hopes for, you know, a few seasons ago, and it's just a bit like Adebayo, really. It's just gone a little bit stale. It's moving, isn't it? You can't turn down the opportunity. Obviously, you had to go to Ipswich when he did, but he's just not had enough game time, and he's got some really good attributes. You know, he's really quick on the shoulder. I think he's the full package. Obviously, spoke to Johnny Jackson about him a lot when he carried them for a period. He was such a threat at Wimbledon, so hopefully he can rediscover that at Sheffield Wednesday. And just a couple of ones that I enjoyed, really. Another AFC Wimbledon player, the captain, Jake Reeves to Barnett. Felt perfect, that did, Barnett for Jake Reeves. I don't know why, but started with a goal in the victory up somewhere away from home. Can't recall where it was, but he's got a really good goal and Dean Brennan seems to love him already. And one that went through yesterday, George Saville to Bromley. That is just perfect.
I had Ali Alhamady and George Saville as my two. George Saville is so on the nose, Bromley, isn't it?
33 years of age.
Yeah.
Spent, what, four or five years at Millwall, obviously up to the northeast with Middlesbrough for a period. In your face, unbelievable engine, good character. I don't know him, but he looks like he's the life and soul when I've seen him bouncing around dressing rooms and coming out of post-match and such like. So he will fit into what I would presume is a really good group. Well, we saw their celebrations last year, didn't we, doing their freestyle singing, dancing on the pitch. So he'll fit into Andy Woodman's group perfectly.
Yeah.
Bags of experience, more than 60 caps for Northern Ireland as well. Do you have another one, Clarkey?
No, not really. Divine Makassar, I think he's a good player. You know, for going to West Ham on loan, we mentioned him already. He had two or three really good games for Leicester and he did fade and he looked a little bit too sort of laid back maybe. So can he find that fire in his belly to go and really hurt teams on a consistent basis? That would be my sort of message to him if I was part of that staff, because the talent is there. He can see a pass, he can score goals, he can be a difference maker, I think, for West Ham United. It's just... has he got that fire? So let's see.
I'll chuck in one last one to finish. Jerry Yates back to Blackpool on loan, like Ali Alhamady, somebody who needed a move to reinvigorate his career. And then Blackpool obviously had great success there. So let's see.
Nice symmetry.
Continue that. Yeah. Clarkey's Stat Trick is a new feature that we debuted last week. Was it well received enough to come back for week two?
Well, I don't know. But, you know, no one moaned about it. No one slagged it off. So I'm going to take that as...
I live my life in the football media now. If you don't get called an expletive, like, you've done a mighty fine job.
Yeah, I'd take that as a 7 or an 8 out of 10. So no, we'll try and make this a regular. Look, I think it just drops a little bit of info in for the listeners about
the name of the feature is a pun. You had me at that. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, the stat trick. Anyway, so let's start with the Championship. Millwall, fun team. We didn't really talk about them much ahead of this season, but they ever massed an XG of 6.09 across two games, which is phenomenal, really. And I'll tell you why it's phenomenal, because it's almost two goals or two XG more than anyone else in the Championship so far. You know, they've played, Norwich and Bristol City, not what you call easy games either. And I was also impressed that 12 different players have had a shot so far, and 5 different players have attempted at least 5 shots in the two games so far. So Millwall are coming at teams from all angles and playing with... yeah, but the handbrake off, and it's been really good to see. So well done, Millwall. Very entertaining start to the season. In League One, I want to give kudos to Blackpool, who won at Stockport with 22% of possession. Bailey Peacock-Farrell was the star, turned there with 8 saves. Burton also won at Leicester with 26.8% of possession. That's even more remarkable given that for over an hour, they had a man advantage and still only had 26% of possession. So yeah, Blackpool and Burton proving that you can tough it out without very much of the ball. And my favourite stat this week is from League Two. I don't know whether Sam knows too much about Billy Kirkman of Swindon. He plays he plays left back for Swindon, and against Cheltenham his numbers were mind-blowing. Okay, he won 18 duels. He won 5 aerial duels. He made 11 ball recoveries. He made 11 tackles, 7 interceptions and 15 clearances. he is like way in advance of everyone else in League Two, thanks to that one performance. You know, I didn't see the game, so... you know, in terms of like, they must have been raiding down that side, you know, attack after attack, Cheltenham. But he stood up firm, Billy Kirkman, and produced some just outrageous numbers. Yeah, I had to slip that one in.
I bet Ian Holloway kissed him on the head in the dressing room in front of all the other players at the end of that game. Good. Enjoyed that very much. Thank you, Clarkey. I'll be back again next week, given its continued success. But next today, we're going to have a look at some of the weekend's games. And in the Championship, Wolverhampton Wanderers welcome Stoke City to Molyneux this weekend. Wolves are unbeaten. Stoke haven't won in the league yet. We've sort of alluded to this maybe, Sam, but are we already thinking the Wolves are the best bet of the three relegated clubs to bounce straight back?
At the moment, yeah. But I think, yeah, it runs through what I said earlier. You just need a little bit of time to wait and see exactly what they're going to look like before putting all your money on one of these sides. They've looked good in an attacking sense, I suppose. Comfortable win in the week against Sheffield Wednesday. Got really good options now. Spoke about, you know, Jordan James, where he's going to fit into the puzzle. You've got Armstrong, Jimenez conundrum as well. Can Armstrong maybe replicate what he did under Russell Martin, I think, at Southampton, play off one of the sides where he can still make those nice little diagonal darts in on goal from out to in. So he came on and scored, didn't he, at Deepdale. So yeah, there's a little bit of an issue there. You know, how exactly do you get both of them in the same team? But yeah, they've been free scoring, and yeah, they'll clearly be favourites over a Stoke team, which you could almost replay what I said about Birmingham. Probably not quite, but I think they're in the same ballpark. Stoke, in terms of their start to the season, won't be helped by obviously their defeat in midweek as well. So yeah, right now I think Wolves are getting stronger with the signings, and shape of the team looks good, and would expect them to take care of business here.
Yeah, they brought in John Ruddy, the latest homecomer, and Joao Virginia to bolster their goalkeeping ranks this week. Incredibly, this is going to be the first league meeting between these sides since 2011. A 2-1 win for the Potters that day. Peter Crouch got the winning goal. Here's a naughty question for you, Clarky. Is Mark Robbins best off leaving Stoke while he still has his reputation just about intact?
It is a bit naughty, isn't it? I mean, it's a bit of a poison chalice, isn't it? You do wonder if anyone can pull them out of this sort of lower mid-table mire that they seem entrenched in every single year. I don't mind the recruitment, I've got to say. I mean, they spent a lot of money on, was it Ethan Galbraith? Was 10 mil. That's a lot of money, you know, so they're really backing that to make a difference. George Hurst is a good signing. Let's get it right. I mean, he was terrific for Ipswich. I know Sam was a fan. And I think a striker is the thing that they've really lacked in recent seasons, a regular goal getter. And at Championship level, Hurst is kind of proven, and I think he suits it. He'll probably suit the style of football that they play as well. So, yeah, no, I don't think he should leave. He shouldn't quit. He should give it a red hot go. And because if he does turn them into, let's say, a playoff team, sneak into the top eight, then that would be an unbelievable success, in my opinion. Because, yeah, on paper, they don't look a top side. They're not creating very much at the moment. The big reliance on Sorber Thomas to sort of make things happen out wide. So, yeah, they'll be underdogs here. Do you know what, though? I think in this game, if they can, and that it might be, if they can be brave, I think attack might be the best form of defence against Wolves. I don't think Wolves are great at the back. I think you can create chances against them. So are Stoke going to do that? That's the question. Because if they sit in, offer very little threat, Wolves, with the individuals they've got, will probably pick them off and score.
Mm. Yeah, he seems to have been bemoaning the lack of quality options, really, to affect games late in the day. And they've been done on by opposition's changes, seeing them get stronger and Stoke get weaker. And they're coming up against a team with a really good squad this weekend. So that could play a part. Haven't lost first three in 16 years. Stoke just had a quick look. Norwich Tuesday night at home. Two tricky games. You know, if they're nil point going into Tuesday, that is a pressure game where, I don't know, the fans, will they be with the team? Probably from the outset, but that becomes a really big game. You know, that would be what went out in the cup as well. That would be a real pressurised game earlier in the season, I think.
Okay. In League One, meanwhile, two teams tipped to be promotion contenders from opposite ends of the country meet at Home Park. It's Plymouth against Bradford. No cup set for Argyle against Coventry in the battle of the former England midfielders turned managers. But that's not what their season's about, is it, Clarky? They are yet to win a league game, though, after losing at home to Stockport and drawing at Wickham. So they'll want to try and get that 3 points as quickly as possible, but it's not going to be easy against high-flying Bradford.
No, well, Bradford aren't giving anything away, are they? they're super, super solid. Now, Plymouth, I think, will come good. I do like Cleverley, and I do think they've got two strikers in Evans and Pepple that will score a lot of goals this season. But they weren't very good last week in the game at Wickham. You know, didn't really create much in open play at all. It was a bit flat. And then, obviously, coming off the back of losing at home to Stockport, it's underwhelming, isn't it? But I think that this is an opportunity, actually, to get their first win on the board, to get some goals. It won't be easy against Bradford, who said are solid, but Plymouth are almost always worth a goal. They've actually scored in 14 successive games now, so Bradford's defence will have to perform well to keep them at bay. That's all I'll say. But yeah, it's a big game for them. Bradford have kind of earned the right to not relax here, but it's just another game for them, and they're sitting pretty at the moment, aren't they? So yeah, I'm expecting a high tempo, high energy, attacking performance from a Plymouth team that have conceded 7 goals in 2 home games. And you know, they've got to score more goals. You know, if they can't be super tight at the back, they've got to score more goals themselves.
That's not going to be easy against Bradford, is it, Sam? I mean, they've won 3 games in normal time, plus that one on penalties against Burnley. They haven't conceded a goal yet. Yeah. Graham Alexander always gives you defensive solidity, doesn't he? Is this going to be another case of a victory to nil, or at least a point without conceding for them?
I'd probably make Bradford slight favourites, maybe, in light of what Clarkie's just said, the start to the season. It's got to be about, I think, those two front players for Argyle. They've lost Malachi Boateng, I think. So they're a bit light in midfield. Backinson's come back in to the club alongside Harvey White. So yeah, it's how Evans kicks on from getting his maiden goal, I suppose, at Wickham. And if him and Pepple can, there's a lot of speculation about Pepple. I think it's quieter now, but you know, they probably can't afford to lose him at this late stage, if indeed there is people still looking at securing his services. But yeah, Bradford are getting, you know, loads of plaudits, and rightly so, yet to concede. Incredibly resilient in a back three system, which they all know wonderfully well. Touré and Nerfield, good wing backs. And I think there was a little bit of a concern about the midfield when you think about how well Metcalf started at Millwall and losing Power. Those two were, you know, pretty fundamental to that Bradford setup last season. So backup players have come in and done well, and done well in the week to obviously get another victory over Burnley, albeit on penalties. But yeah, the goalkeeper's the hero right now. I think a clean sheet with all the options that they've got in attack, Beasley, Jackson, Powell, could be enough for maximum points down in Devon. So yeah, two teams much fancied start of the season, but right now, you know, Bradford finding their rhythm a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. They sure are. The League Two game we're going to look at is Rotherham against Chesterfield. So Rotherham, Steve McLaren upstairs, Alex Bruce as the manager. The early signs haven't been great. They haven't won a game yet. But I think the sort of lazy take from neutrals like me, Clark, it would be to say, well, what qualifications does Steve McLaren and Alex Bruce have to be doing this particular job? But this is something they've inherited, right? It's a big old tanker they've got to try and turn around. 2 wins from their last 20 league games, if you include last season.
Yeah, look, they were in the Championship not long ago, and now they're in League Two. So it's been a bad run for quite a while. So yeah, it's not an easy gig to take. I mean, in terms of the qualification, I don't agree with that. You know, what qualifications will she have, for example, you know, to go and manage in League One? Never played in it, never experienced it. So, no, I think good on them for doing it. Steve McLaren obviously understands football. He knows, you know, he's seen a lot. So he'd like to think he's given some good input, but it doesn't mean it's going to work, does it? Because like you say, they've been in a bad way for quite some time, and they haven't started great, have they? They're a bit long ball-y. I was looking at some of the numbers. They hit the most long balls per 90 of all the teams, 95 per game, which is, in Premier League terms, like off the charts high. So, you know, they're quite direct, but there's nothing wrong with that. And they'll be up against a good footballing team in Chesterfield here this weekend, who I think probably should have scored more goals than they have. I think they've created a lot of chances and just not been able to take them. So maybe this is it's a game where Chesterfield can cut loose a little bit and slice through a Rotherham side that's struggling for confidence.
You with Clarkie in that opinion, Sam? Chesterfield winning at Salford last week, having lost 1-0 in their previous 2 games of the season. Is this where Paul starts to cook?
Yeah, again, I'm happy to make a little prediction like I've done for the two previous ones. You'd side with them, just Chesterfield. I saw Rotherham in the Carabao Cup, obviously against West Brom, and it looked like a pre-season game because they've had so many new signings and just thrown together. It kind of reminded me of the tail end of my career when you're signing one-year contracts, League One, League Two, and quite often there's been a dozen new signings at Rotherham, and I was part of that a few times, and it takes time to get going, and they look really disjointed. So much so that after the initial two defeats, Cheltenham, wasn't it, the first league game, he's changed the system already and gone back to a three at the back system, which you kind of associate with Rotherham. I think for a long time under Hamshaw and Paul Warne, even before that, they've always kind of been quite rigid in that, hard to beat, real set piece threat. So, you know, maybe Alex Bruce has just tinkered one or two things already. They did look like they're going to be a transitional team, you know, even though it was a cup game against Championship opposition. I don't think they're going to go hunting really high. I don't think probably if Mullin and Bradshaw are part of your front three, they're going to have the legs to do that, possibly. So Chesterfield will be that. They scored their goal from a high turnover against them, against Salford. I think Paul Cook's teams, in essence, are always quite front-footed, aren't they? Get in the face of the opponent. So again, like, we don't know exactly how it's going to evolve for Rotherham, but, you know, I really hope for Paul Mullin's sake, in particular, that he can find that goal touch and that consistency again, because he's been such a phenomenal player for Cambridge and then Wrexham over a period of what, 4 or 5 years. He was outstanding, and the last year has clearly been tricky for him, and you do worry in a team that's maybe not going to create loads, as he scored from a set piece last time out, it could be challenging for him. So yeah, let's hope he gets up and running this weekend and he can get a good return of goals, because Rotherham are going to need that. Otherwise, could be a season they're looking over their shoulder once more.
It's the first time, and I'm much more into this kind of stat than you two are, but it's the first time they've met in a league game since 2013. For some reason, that surprised me greatly.
I played in that fixture, yeah, back in the day. One of my three games for Rotherham on a miserable loan spell was against Chesterfield.
What year would that have been?
Don't know, like 90...
98 or 2000? Or it could have been 97 or 96.
I think it was 97, I can't remember.
One-all draw?
Yeah, I think so. Basically, I was thrust into central midfield, and I'd never played central midfield ever. But yeah, it was quite a forgettable debut.
Something else that has been entirely forgettable so far has been our predictions. I mean, pretty ropey.
We don't know anything about football, do we?
Clearly, yeah. Disregard everything you've heard for the last 45 minutes, listener. Last week, you two got 1 point. I still haven't got off the mark yet. So,
happy with that.
Sam 4, me 1, Matt 0.
2 points per game.
All right, well, I get to go first then, given that I'm doing so terribly. Well, this is tricky though, because I picked Derby Swansea as the first game, and obviously if my soul simply won't let me tip Derby to do anything but lose. But let's go for a 1-0 Swansea win in that case, Adrian.
Yeah, I had 1-0 Swansea, so I'll switch it to 2-1 Swansea.
Good, I'm liking this. Sam, are you going to make it a hat-trick?
They haven't won yet, Derby, have they? But they're going to win on Saturday.
Yeah.
2-1, Derby.
Gross. Sam, MK Dons, Leicester. If ever a manager needed something, it's Russell
Martin.
This is a
big game.
Yeah, and I looked at their last four, and caveat, it is League One. So Leicester fans throwing stuff at their devices here, because it shouldn't be daunting, should it, being down in the third tier. But they're pretty tricky games, the next four for Leicester. Given where they are, MK haven't won yet, have they, in the league? But they're going to win here. More pain for the Foxes. 1-0.
Wow. What do you reckon, Clarkey?
2-2. Leicester to be maybe trailing, and then they fight for the manager, and it's a turning point where they pick up a dramatic late draw. There you go.
Okay, I think it'll be a draw as well, but I've gone for 1-1 on that one. I put Rotherham Chesterfield in because I'd totally forgotten that we were talking about that. Sam's already sort of predicted it. You know what? Let's keep it, because I think it'll be interesting if our chat matches what we actually think is going to happen in the game. So, Adrian, you got first pick on this one.
Rotherham 1, Chesterfield 3.
Oh, crikey, a spanking away win, Sam.
He left the 2-1 for me and I'll gobble it up.
1-2 to the Spireites. I'll say 0-3. Why not? We're all going for the away win. in that one. Right, we're nearly done for the day. Let me remind you one more time of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, though. You can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. You'll find a link to that offer in the episode description. And now, as ever, we are going to finish with our tweet of the week. Sam picked this one out. This is slightly unusual for us because we don't normally go for admin, but we thought that this was so good we'd have to. It's Peterborough United, who said, still standing in the Carabao Cup ... piano keys emoji hashtag PUFC with a video of their romp at Vicarage Lane. Obviously, I'm Still Standing is the soundtrack to it. That's by Elton John. He is a big Watford guy, obviously owned a club for many, many years. Sam, there was a lot to like about it. What I particularly liked is quite near the start where the camera pans down to the no standing bit just between the terrace and the pitch. Somebody's put a lot of effort into this and it's paid off.
Yeah, and obviously I mentioned the Darren McAntony voiceover on the new striker signing video as well, which was great. So he's doing some sterling work, he or she, at London Road. The yeah's in time, which was a lovely touch.
A lot of praise.
I'm Still Standing reminds me of my childhood a little bit. I must have been, is it early 80s? It must be. You know, I wouldn't go as far to say that it was always on in the house. I don't think my old man or mum were massive Elton fans, but it just reminds me of the early 80s. It's always liked that song as well. A little bit cheeky. Nobody should have a go at Elton, should they? Or... you know, mock him with one of his own tracks. But it was beautifully put together. Some of the goals were great. And just to follow on from what Clarkey said earlier, yeah, things turning around for Posh and Harry Leonard. If you've got someone of that quality, you ain't going to be in relegation trouble.
Okay. It's always worth pointing out that Elton John's cousin scored the winning goal and broke his leg for Forest in the 1959 FA Cup final against Luton. Clarkey, had a look at the replies. It's been almost roundly praised by all the Peterborough supporters who are absolutely loving it. Then here comes at John Morley 18. Hate the yeah celebration when teams win. German rubbish, do something original or just applaud the team. You were enjoying yourself at a party last night. I bet you're glad John Morley wasn't there.
Yeah, no, you don't get an invite, John. Miserable. Come on, have a bit of fun with it. No, this is brilliant. It's a great edit. It's beautifully done. I like this kind of content. Takes you to the pitch. You know, it kind of reminds me of being a player where you're down on the pitch and then you have a big win and you celebrate with the supporters. I love it. And you get to see a bit of the personality of the players involved. I also like it's the new badge for Peterborough, but it's sort of a retro styly one, isn't it? I also like that. So yeah, no, I think phenomenal work from Posh Admin. Take a bow.
Well done, Admin. Well done, Adrian and Sam as well. That was a good fun rattle through all things EFL from the week. That's where we're going to leave it for today. Then we'll be back with another show next week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy a game if you're going, and we'll catch up with you soon.